Well, let me ask you this. Do you enter 2021 with a sense of anticipation? I hope you do. We need it, right? We need it a year to anticipate, to be excited about, to see what God is going to be doing. I'm excited this morning because it's the start of a new year, start of a whole new theme, start of everything. We are going to be doing Immovable. You're going to hear more about our theme in the weeks to come, but we're going to be looking at what does it look like to be immovable children of God, movable people, immovable church, all of those different things. And we're going to be spending some time there. And actually, we're going to be spending beginning a couple of months here that we're going to be looking at character studies, different immovable people in the Bible and what it was that made them immovable. And today we're going to be talking about Daniel and one of the specific things. And actually, as a part of that is what we're going to be talking this morning. You see on the screen the 40 days of prayer. You've heard a little bit about this, but today actually kicks off the 40 days of prayer. This is the Christian and Missionary Alliance, as the denomination is doing this, and they're inviting all of us as a church to join with basically the nation and even the world as they're going to be engaging in this 40 days of prayer. Each week there's going to be a different theme. As you can see, the theme for this week is the holiness of God. We're going to be celebrating and praying the holiness of God together as a church. Now, if you're interested in this, and I would strongly encourage everyone to take a part in this for the next 40 days and see what it does for you, see what it does for the church. But you can go online, you can look up that website there, and you can sign up. And what's neat about this is that you will get different, there's a video, there's a daily devotional, things to give to pray about. And so we know that as the body of Christ, the church, we will be praying as one together. And so I would encourage you to do that. You see it right there on the screen. Take a moment. If you have your phone or an iPad with you, I would even encourage you go ahead and do that right now. I will allow that to happen, as this is really an important thing. Prayer is an important thing. And even as we go on into this time, this morning, I want this to kick off, and we're going to be in Daniel chapter 2, and we're kind of jumping out a little bit. We're going to talk in Daniel chapter 2 today, Daniel chapter 1 next week, because of the fact that we're kicking off this prayer, this 40 days of prayer. And we want to look at what that means, and what does it mean to be immovable? I want you to think in your mind, put a picture in your mind of somebody that you would say in your life is immovable, in a good way. I mean, there's people that are immovable in a bad way. They're hard-headed and do that. No, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about, stable, firm. They are somebody that when the chips are down, they seem to be just as confident, just as stable as anybody else. Do you have that person in your mind? Do you have a picture of who that is? Now let me ask you the follow-up question to that. As you picture that individual in your mind, what are maybe three things that you would say make that person immovable, stable, firm? What makes them that to you? You know, as I look back in my life, there's a few people that I would say were that immovable person that you could always count on. They were the rock that were there. And one of the things that I would say it would always come back to was there was one thing that seemed to be consistent in their lives, and that was prayer. They were people of prayer. Whether they were in good times or in bad times, you always heard that they took time and they always spent time with God in prayer, no matter what was happening around them. They were people of prayer. And that could be a question that is asked of us. Are we individuals of prayer? And this morning I want us to look at Daniel in Daniel chapter 2. One of those great stories, a story you've probably heard. Daniel is probably one of my favorite characters to study. And the book of Daniel is absolutely incredible because you see a guy that is able to be immovable in so many different circumstances. And remember in this story, just kind of a quick back history here, King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, they took over the children of Israel. They were oppressed under them. And one of the things that Nebuchadnezzar did was that he took the young, well-educated men, and it says, you know, men who were handsome and smart and aptitude and all of that, and he said, I want you to bring them in. Well, Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, along with several others, were brought into Babylon to basically serve the king. And so their rights had been stripped away. Their lives had been stripped away. They had even been given new names that were usually based, for example, Daniel's name was based on the Babylonian god. And so they lost not only their rights, but they lost their religion and everything. So life was not easy for them at all. And in this, we see Daniel becoming this man that was immovable, a rock for God. And in Daniel chapter 2, is when we see the story that King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And in this dream, it scares the king. And he doesn't know what it is. He can't figure it out for himself. Now, in our day and age today, you have a dream, and what do you do with the dream? You wake up and forget about it, right? We don't think much about our dreams. But in those days, dreams always had meaning. And so when King Nebuchadnezzar has this dream in chapter 2, and it stresses him out because he can't figure out what it means. So he pulls together the magi, the wise men, the seers, the astrologers, the magician, all of these guys, and he says, here's what the deal is. I had a dream last night. It kind of freaked me out. I'm scared of it. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to tell me what my dream is. Then you're going to tell me what my dream means. Now, that's tough because if you're like me, you have a dream. Can you even remember your own dream the next morning? Now, imagine having somebody saying to you, tell me my dream and then tell me what it means. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. And so this is what Nebuchadnezzar does. And the astrologers and all these guys, the seers, they're kind of playing with the king. And they're like, well, you know, why don't you just tell us what you saw? And he's like, no, I'm not going there. You need to tell me. But king, you got to give us something. Throw us a bone here, something that we can work with. He says, no, you're going to tell me what my dream is. You're going to tell me what the interpretation is. Or I'm going to kill every one of you because you're all fake. Now you can imagine the stress that was going on around there because the king issued a decree that they all be killed, and that meant Daniel and his friends. And this is where the story comes in. Daniel is told in chapter 2 that they are all going to be executed because no one can do this thing, and Daniel says, wait a second, can you give me a little bit of time, and I'll work with it. And then starting in verse 17 is where we're going to start reading. It says, then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power and have made known to me what we asked of you and have made known to us the dream of the king. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret the dream for him. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown the king Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the vision that passed through your mind as you were laying in bed are these. And then he goes on to describe what the dream was and the interpretation of it. We see in this passage an incredible picture into an immovable man of prayer. And if we want to become people that are immovable for the kingdom of God, then prayer is one of those things that must be central to who we are and what we do. But what's neat about this story is we actually see some aspects of prayer that are very important, some of which I think that are very easily overlooked within our lives. For example, and the first thing that we see is that Daniel involves or includes his friend. And it's important that when we are talking about prayer, immovable prayer always involves others. Always. Daniel comes to the first thing that it says that he does is that after he gets the time, it says he goes to the house and he brings his three friends together, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, who are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he says to them, he goes, here's what the deal is, guys. The king has made this decree. He's killing all the wise men. He immediately brought them into the story and said, guys, plead with me to God that he would resolve the mystery. So the first thing that he does is he brings them into it. Oftentimes, what our tendency, I know what my tendency is to do, is that prayer concerns or prayer needs are mine. And I kind of keep them to myself. Do you find yourself doing that? You know, it's like, I have this prayer need and I'm going to pray for it, I'm going to pray for it, I'm going to pray for it, until it gets to the place where it's beyond what I can pray. Do you know what I'm saying? We all of a sudden come to this place where we realize, you know what? It's too big. I need other people to be involved. So it's kind of like the last resort that we bring other people in. But we see in the story of Daniel, it was the first thing that he did was he called his friends together and he said, guys, here's what the deal is. We need to pray together. Friends, can I tell you this? Prayer is powerful. Corporate prayer is unbelievable. Think about God's word for a moment. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. It's amazing. In that, just two. Notice that the power of two becomes even greater in prayer. When we come together, prayer is ramped up. You know, understand that this was the early church. The early church, prayer was the central focus of what they did. If you look in Acts 2:42, this is the picture of the early church, and this is such a powerfully packed verse itself. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Notice the word that's in there. They devoted themselves. When you hear that word, what does that bring to mind? Something flippant? Not at all. Devoted means that this was at the very heart of who they were, and it says that this is what we did. When they came together, they devoted themselves to the teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And if you look a little bit deeper, one of the things that you will see is that it says that they did this daily. The church did this daily. Now, here's the amazing thing about this. When you look at that early church, now, again, there's all kinds of discussions that can come from this, but you look at that early church, one of the things that it says is that in one day, the early church saw 3,000 people come to know Christ as their Savior. 3,000, over 3,000. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine, just kind of get this picture. 1/3 of Plymouth coming to Christ in one day. Can you even imagine that? Now let me ask you this question. Why do you think 3,000 people came together to know Christ? Was it because Peter was such a great orator and speaker? He knew what to say? Was it because the disciples found a great band and they opened it up and they really got people excited and they worked on their emotions? So when Peter got up there and he gave this rousing sermon that they couldn't help but notice, Peter was uneducated. He had no schooling. He was a fisherman. And even in the midst of that, it says that the word of God cut to their heart because of this one thing. Because they prayed. I think today we easily forget the power that prayer has. You know why I can say that? Because there is hardly a church today that has a designated prayer meeting once a week. There's no church that I know of that has a daily prayer meeting. But once a week, many churches can't even do that. Prayer in the churches today has been relegated to the leadership of the church and to the pastor on Sunday morning. I tell you, it is a blessing for me that on every Tuesday, for the most part, I get to meet with our elders. We meet on Zoom and we pray for our body, for our church. And that has been a huge blessing this past year for me. I can't even tell you the amazing feeling of being with God's people in prayer. Many Christians today themselves don't even know how to pray. And they don't pray in their homes unless it is over a meal, a blessing at a meal that may even be a rote prayer or a bedtime prayer. But look at what prayer can do. Acts chapter 12, we see an amazing story. Peter is seized, he's put in prison, and this is all just simply because he was spreading the gospel. He was sharing the message of Jesus Christ. He's thrown in prison. It says he's chained between two guards. But look in verse 5. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it says, so Peter was kept in prison. What was the church doing? Earnestly praying to God for him. So here, Peter's in prison. They find out Peter's in prison. The church comes together. They meet together and they say, folks, we are going to pray that God will work for Peter and something we don't know. God is amazing. Whatever he will do, he will do. But we are praying that God will work in this. And understand that this was not a short couple minutes. They didn't gather together and do a quick prayer and then all go scattered in their ways. And we can know this because in verse 12, look what it says in verse 12. Now, Peter was chained between the guards. And Peter was sleeping. So this tells us that it was at night. In verse 12, it says, when this had dawned on him that the chains had fallen off, he got up and he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark. And look what it says, where many people had gathered. And what were they doing? Praying. We get a picture here of the church that met together when they heard that Peter was put into prison. They came together. They started to pray. Peter is released from prison and he shows up at the house. And what are the people still doing? They're still praying. Why? Because they understood the power of prayer. While they were praying, God worked. And this is the greatest part of prayer, is when we pray, when we involve others in it, we open the doors of heaven for the impossible to happen. You know, when I look at 2021, I want to see God do the impossible. And I tell you what, it has nothing to do with a virus. It has everything to do with the kingdom. But you know when he's going to do that? When we come together and involve one another in prayer. An immovable man of God, immovable woman of God, the immovable church will involve others in prayer. But it goes beyond that too. We see with Daniel that not only does he involve his friends, but he takes the matter seriously. Now, it was easy in Daniel's situation to take it seriously because it was either pray or die. But when you think about this, this is a very important aspect for us to take the matter seriously. Daniel goes to his friends and not only does he share with them what's going on, but he says, guys, we need to plead with God for this. Now, this is where... Again, I don't always take prayer matters seriously. I don't know if you're like me, there are times where I just kind of flippantly bring prayers to God. You know, you just kind of go, God, here's what it is, and, you know, whatever you do is great. Even at times where, you know, we'll feel strong enough about it in the moment and we'll bring it to a friend and, you know, can you pray about this? I don't know. You get the emails each week from the church. Can I ask you this? When you get those emails, do you pray for them at the moment? I hope so. Now here's the next one. Do you keep praying about it? Sometimes that's tough. When we bring our requests to God, when we bring our requests to others, do we really take seriously? James even says in James chapter 1, verse 6, he says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of a sea blown and tossed by the wind. This is, do I believe? Do I take seriously the things that I'm praying for enough that I believe that God is going to move, that God is going to work? Am I like Daniel where I am willing to plead with God even on a small request? Can you imagine if Daniel didn't take this seriously? Hey guys, I just heard from the king that he had a dream and apparently no one can interpret it. No one can even say what it is, and so I guess we're all going to die. You know, it might be a good idea. Let's pray. And imagine if they just sat down and basically said something along the lines of, God, there's this thing that the king has said, and it would really be nice if you could tell me and my friends the answer. And, you know, well, that would be really good. Thank you. And then just stopped. Stop praying. Could you imagine if the early church, when Peter was put into prison, simply walked to one another's homes and said, hey, Peter's in prison, pray for Peter, and then they walked and they kind of did their own thing. Can you imagine what would have happened if they didn't take seriously the prayer request? In 2 Chronicles 7:14, there is the passage that we like. We say it a lot. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and would hear from heaven, then I will forgive their sin and heal their land. We kind of like to just smooth over that one, don't we? Yeah. And we like that. If my people will pray. We kind of jump to that one quickly. If my people who are called by my name will pray, then I will hear and I will do what they want. And a lot of times this is kind of where we go to it, but notice what this is about. This is really about taking matters seriously of prayer and matters seriously in the life. Am I willing to change my life in order for God to answer my prayer? See, this is where it gets to be tough. Because taking matters seriously means taking my life seriously, means taking everything that goes into this prayer aspect seriously, not just the words in which I bring, but the heart in which I bring it and the life in which I bring it. You see, we love the part that it simply says, ask whatever you want in my name and I will do it, because there's no responsibility in that statement. But when it says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, pray. You see, there's a little bit more to it than that. Am I willing to change my life in order for God to answer prayers? Am I willing to become immovable in who I am in order for God to continue to create in me an immovable heart? If that is what I want, then I need to take matters seriously in prayer. But Daniel shows us another one, and this is one which is, be specific. In prayers, if I want to be immovable in my prayers, if I want to be immovable for the kingdom, then you know what, I need to tell God exactly what it is that I see and I need. How many times do we go to prayer and our prayer is just simply a general prayer, God, would you please help me? It's an easy prayer, right? God, would you help me? We love to pray in generalities. You know, you get a prayer request that says someone's going into surgery, and we go to prayer and we go, oh God, I pray for so-and-so as they go into surgery. I pray that you would go with them. Have you really thought about that prayer? Is God not already going with them? And it's such a general prayer. You know, I've done that so many times where it's just this kind of this blanket prayer of, you know, God, just kind of do whatever. I could tell you what, there was a time in my mother-in-law's life where she was going into a surgery, and her prayer of a successful surgery and our prayer for a successful surgery were completely different things. Our prayer for a successful surgery was that she would come out of it, that she would be healed, that she would be able to go on with life normally. You know what her successful prayer was? That when her eyes opened, she was seeing Jesus. That was her successful prayer. When we pray, do we pray specific? Imagine if Daniel prayed like so many of us do today. Dear God, this king issued a decree that all the wise men should be killed because he had a dream, and none of us knows the dream. So would you just simply be with us in this time? Give us peace. Give us comfort. But notice what Daniel said. He said, guys, let's plead for something very specific. That God would give us the answer to the mystery of the king. Pray that God would show us the dream and the interpretation. That's a bold prayer. How many times do we go before God with bold prayers? Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. What is the request? You're asking for something, right? You're asking for something specific. Can you imagine as a parent, if your child came up to you and said, Mom or Dad, can you help me? And then turned and walked away. What are you going to do as a parent? Wait a second, come back here. How am I supposed to help you? Tell me what you need, right? That's what we would say as a parent. What is it that you need? And we would make our child tell us exactly what it is that they want. And this is what God is saying. You know what? Give me what you need. Tell me what it is. Be specific. I think sometimes we're afraid to be specific with God. And all the while, he's saying, tell me what it is. Tell me what you need. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says these words, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. We can have the confidence of asking for anything in God's will. Yes, there are times that I can ask specifically and I'm not going to get the answer that I want, but God still calls for us to pray specifically. If there's a need, get as specific as you can. Look at the Psalms. I love reading the Psalms because these are some very specific prayers. If you read what the psalmist says, there are times when he's like, God, would you thwart the plans of my enemies? They conspire against me. Don't let their plans work out. There's times where he's saying, Lord, would you bring healing to my bones? Would you do this? Very specific in what he does. Immovable prayer is specific prayer. And the reason why it becomes immovable is because one of the things is as we pray specifically, we begin to see God answering specifically. You see, and that's what brings me actually to the last point with this, is God, give God the credit. You see, when we pray specifically, God begins to answer specifically. If we pray generally, God begins to answer generally. And actually what happens when God generally answers prayer? Do you know what happens? We miss it, right? If we're not asking for the specific, we're not going to see it. That happens all the time in life. But part of the immovable prayer, once we are specific in prayer, is actually giving God the credit for that prayer. Now, this is where, and I'll admit, I fall short of this so many times. I'm good at going to God with my prayers, with my requests, and I can even get specific. But once we pray for it, all of a sudden we kind of forget that we pray about it, we go on with life. And God answers the prayer, and because I'm not consistent, that may be that there are things that I miss with it. But in the story of Daniel, this is such a beautiful picture. You can tell that this is playing on Daniel, that he's working on it through the night, because it doesn't say that it came to him in a dream. It said it came to him in a vision, which oftentimes visions were things that were done while a person was awake. Dreams were done while a person was asleep. The king had a dream. Daniel had a vision. And if those were the words, then basically what we see is this. Daniel was struggling with this and praying through the night for this thing, and God gave him the answer to the prayer. And I love what happens. Daniel does two things with the answer to the prayer. First thing that he does, it says that he gives him praise. He gives God praise. In the night, he just simply begins to worship God because of an answer to a prayer. Immediately stops whatever he's doing, gives God praise. The second thing that Daniel does is it says that he went to the king. And he begins by saying to the king, King, what you asked is impossible. Nobody can do this. I can't even do this. But there is a God who has given us the answer. He has shown us this. And he brings all of the credit back to God. So it brings me to ask the question is, why is it so important that we give God the credit? Why do you think God answers prayer? Have you ever just kind of stopped and considered that question for a moment? Why does God answer our prayers? Is it just simply because we asked for it? God, the cosmic genie, sitting there, we rubbed our magic Bible lamp, and then we pray and ask God for something, and because we asked, now he's required to do it. You see, God answers prayers for a couple of reasons. One is because it will reveal his power, his glory, and his majesty. It shows who he is. And the second purpose is he will always answer the prayers if it means that it is for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If God can be shown as sovereign and supreme, as the Lord over all, then he will answer even the most outrageous prayer. Do we give God the credit? In Psalm 96, verses 1 and 3, he says, Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among his people. Declare what he has done. Declare among the people. Let it be known the incredible nature of our God. In Psalm 103, 1 and 2, it says, Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How do we not forget God's benefits? By repeating them. As we share God's benefits with one another, his answers to prayer, all of a sudden, we begin to see God answering those more and more and more. Praise him for his answers. Let me ask you this. When was the last time that you shared with someone God's answer to a specific prayer in your life? I can tell you, I love it when we get the prayer requests that go out in the email, and then a week or two later, we get the response where they say, Praise God for answered prayer, and we get to share that. You want to be an immovable person for the kingdom of God? Then be a person of prayer. Prayer is the greatest place to start. Pray with others. Be serious about the matters of prayer. Be specific in your prayers. And give God the credit and praise him for that. As we enter into the 40 days of prayer, watch for what God will do. Join with his family together and become the immovable church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we even can have the opportunity to approach the throne of God in prayer. We realize that in our brokenness, we have absolutely no place to have any right to come to you. But yet with open arms, you call us to yourself and ask us to pray. Lord, as we see in Daniel, a man who was immovable, a man of prayer, I pray that we would become people of prayer, a church of prayer, a nation of prayer, one that would take the name of Jesus across the globe, one that would trust in you for outrageous things, outrageous kingdom things, that we would pray for things that go beyond our ability and beyond our will. Lord, would you use us? Would you work in us and help us to be more like you? In your name we pray. Amen.